fields of blood. Blood sex. Blood sex. Mother of whores, the cup of blood. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalena, out of whom went seven devils. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredom, and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. In this segment of Fields of Blood, Sex Blood, we are going to discuss, of course, my first portrait was Mary Magdalena, who was a prostitute around the area of the Galilee and had seven devils and spirits of infirmities in her. And then the mother of all harlots, Mystery Babylon, and how Hosea was to take a prostitute for his wife, and that it brought spiritual whoredoms. It was a sign of spiritual whoredoms of the land, and brought in, through moral corruption, destruction. I want to examine some work in this segment by a woman named Dr. Reisman. Dr. Reisman. We are going to be examining prostitution, sex slavery, child pornography, sex trafficking, and child trafficking along with porno, the root issues of sexual exploitation, all kinds. Dr. Reisman, I'm going to play some audio clips by her as she is an expert in this field internationally. She has successfully spent much of her career laying the foundations for deconstructing both soft pornography and Kinsey myths. Her work uncovering and documenting systemic perversion by well-funded efforts in academia, politics, business, and media sheds light on what spawned the sexual from birth dogma and helped to launch the global pollution of classrooms and institutions, our print and broadcast media, and indeed the internet. Dr. Reisman is answering the possibility of sex education leading into the sexual deviations of pornography and then communism. Her answer?
Yeah, you know, certainly there is, because when you have an enslaved population, which sexual addiction and sexual, pornography creates, a slave population. When you have a slave population, when you have people who whose focus is by no means on anything upper air. It's certainly they've given up their religion. You can't have two masters, right? So they are controlled by their sexual lusts. When you have that kind of population, that population will do anything to fulfill their lusts, their interests, and they have no compunction about forcing other people to adhere to that. And what part of that is the drive for homosexual, bisexual, bisexualization of the children. We see it reflected in child pornography. We see it reflected in what's now become a whole industry of child sex trafficking. So if that isn't slavery, I don't know what is.
Dr. Reisman is addressing the question whether the breakdown of the moral code invites tyranny into this society and culture.
Oh, absolutely. If tyranny allows them to do what they want to do sexually, then they will buy into the tyranny. No problem at all. And that's historic. I mean, it's happened for forever. Bread and circuses, you know, bread and circuses. I mean, it used to be that the Romans would gather all the people together in that big, you know, antheum and have the animals devour people, and everyone was, and they were engaged in their various orgies and everything. It's not as though we've invented this kind of control. So that's where we are moving very rapidly. When we have a society, and we, you know, look, I just attended a major sex trafficking conference, the White House conference on sex trafficking at Johns Hopkins Hospital, just about, I think it was a week or two ago or something, like maybe just a week. And the crowd, I mean, you have people there whose business, and it's become an industry, is the whole issue of quote-unquote sex trafficking of children. And what were they talking about? Well, they're talking about, well, you know, how to take care of all the victims, and we're going to repair their, give them therapy, and we're going to, you know, take care of their venereal diseases, the child victims, right, who are being trafficked. So nobody is willing to address how they got that way. They have absolutely no comprehension of the history of this nation. We did not have, Good News America, child sex trafficking, you know, World War II, up to World War II. We did not have a mass pornography industry. We did not have children being raped and mutilated in the way they are today, much less adults as well. So no one at that conference would talk about cause. No one could even think about cause. I got up, I said, the big elephant in this room. Nobody even is talking about pornography. You can't go into a prison and interview prisoners without finding out that their background is pornographic. They have pornography in their background. If they are allowed, they'll have the pictures up on their wall. You know, magazines, everything. Why? Because apparently they've been forced to try and deal with the fact and face the fact that pornography is causing massive sexual violence. Hello, good morning, America. And it always has, and it always will. And it is a major, major vehicle of control, which is one of the big reasons that the Croatian newspaper that really attacked me first and foremost is the same newspaper that is controlled and owned by the Playboy Croatia magazine. So, yeah, sex education in the classroom is designed to normalize not just homosexuality, but bisexuality, transgender stuff, orgies, you name it. And they've been doing this since the 1960s.
Who owns and controls the pornography industry according to the financial underpinnings?
That's a really good question. Well, I can tell you this. I can say that the Rockefeller Foundation funded Kinsey, okay? They knew that he was doing the kinds of things he was doing. Maybe they didn't have all the details, but they certainly knew that everything that was going on over there was not legal. They also knew that he was collecting pornography and, you know, engaged in all that sort of thing, and yet they continued to fund him. And when we tried to investigate the philanthropies back in 1954, I recommend people get in touch with Dr. Stan Monteith. He has the books, The Foundations. I don't know if you can still get them other places, but The Foundations discusses is a report by the lawyer for the congressional investigation, excuse me, of the philanthropies. They were investigating Ford, Carnegie, of course, Rockefeller, and I think it was Schiff or something, and came to the conclusion that these were anti-democratic philanthropies. This is the conclusion of the congressional hearing, that they're anti-democratic, that they were anti-American, and that they were doing everything they could to destroy our system of government.
Now, this question was regarding George Soros's money funding the sex education in Croatia, which was a recent involvement. over in that country by Dr. Reisman. If you go to her website, you can find more detailed information on it. But this was her response.
Yeah, his money and this Dr. Stuhlhofer, who came from the Kinsey Institute, he's the guy who in Croatia brought in several pedophiles, Haberle, Stanford. By the way, there's one of them, Theo Stanford, who now teaches at Columbia or is a big faculty member at Columbia in the United States of America. And he's an out pedophile, no question about it. You know, is on the board for the Journal of Pedophilia. So there were at least three out pedophiles. One that's in Germany right now, and so forth. So, yeah, that was the original planning crew, if you will, for the sex education in Croatia, which is what caused the ruckus, really, when I was there, because in Croatia, because I brought along my journals of pedophilia, in which these guys appear advocating for legalizing all sex with children of any age by adults. And so that's the group that has been dominating the sex education curricula and programs in Croatia. But that's the same group that's done it here, too, you know. I mean, it's these guys have had enormous impact here in the United States, and Planned Parenthood is a recipient of their knowledge, of their wisdom. Yeah, Rockefeller's money was there all along, as was other money, and that's still funding the Kinsey Institute, and we're still funding the Kinsey Institute in Indiana to the taxpayers. The last figure I saw was $21 million over the last 10 years or so.
This final clip by Dr. Reisman is a summary of the root view, which I agree with.
And, you know, and how do you think we got there? And how do you think we're going to get back? We can't get back until we understand how we got there. And so when we deal with these sex trafficking conferences I go to, and nobody wants to deal with the fact that we got here because we've been doing things wrong, yeah, because pornography is everywhere. There is not going to be a sex crime ever anymore that doesn't involve pornography. Forget it. The person who's committing the crime, you know, is using the porn. It's in their brains, minds, bodies, memories. It has altered, rewired them neurochemically. And we are developing an impotent male population, not just the old guys getting the Viagra, the young ones. The young ones can't function because they've been engaged like Kinsey. Kinsey died of orchitis, essentially. It's from damage to his testicles, damage to his sexual organs, and so forth. He had done so much damage to himself, you know. What do you think happens to people who do this sort of thing for any length of time? So, yeah, we dominate the world through sexual dysfunction, through sexual psychopathology, and we wonder that we are not going to be able to maintain an economic system and a governance that is just.
What is the answer? Well, it's spiritual. You're going to serve somebody. You're either going to serve God, who is holy and righteous, and his commandments and his laws, recognizing that you've fallen short and are a sinner, and you need Jesus, you need a Savior to take away your sins, and that he bought the price for you, or you're going to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the truth, you know, you need to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You need to know what the root issues are. If the Son of Man makes you free, then you're free indeed. And then if you're free from sin, then you're the servant of righteousness. But if you're the servant of sin, there is no righteousness in you. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you need to stand, therefore, in the liberty that Christ has to make you free and not be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Sin is bondage. It's slavery. And Mary Magdalena, in which we started out, was a prostitute. And she had seven devils. And she was in bondage and slavery. But this same Mary Magdalena, the one in whom it says Jesus cast seven devils out of her, she had become a cup of demonic impartations and devils. Supposing this prostitute, any prostitute, had children, and their flesh becomes one. It says that when you join with someone's flesh sexually, you become one, and there's an impartation. If you're carrying devils, those devils are imparted, and they're transferred to the child. The Holy Spirit was transferred to John the Baptist, and Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And there are seed lines that are transference of demonic powers. These, unless they're delivered, unless that person is delivered. What happens to children that are born in brothels? There's a documentary titled Born in a Brothel, Calcutta's Red Light District. And amidst the apparent growing prosperity of India, there's a dark underbelly of poverty in the nation. The film is a chronicle of filmmakers Jana Briski and Ross Kaufman's effort to show the world of Calcutta's Red Light District. In order to do that, they inspired a special group of children of the prostitutes of the area to photograph the most reluctant subjects of it. As the kids excel in their newfound art, the filmmakers struggle to help them have a chance for a better life away from the miserable poverty that threatens to crush their dreams. The plot synopsis is the following. Briski, a documentary photographer, went to Calcutta to photograph prostitutes. While there, she befriended the children, their children, and offered to teach them photography to reciprocate being allowed to photograph their mothers. The children were given cameras so they could learn photography and possibly improve their lives. The perspective shown through the children's photographs depicted a life in the red light district through the eyes of children typically overlooked and sworn off to do chores around the house until they were able to contribute more substantially to the family welfare, which often means becoming prostitutes and themselves. That's my comment, as I had seen the documentary. Much of their work was used in the film, and filmmakers recorded the classes as well as daily life in the red light district. The children's work was exhibited, and one boy was even sent to a photography conference in Amsterdam. Briski also recorded her efforts to place the children in boarding schools. Although many of the children did not end up staying very long in boarding schools, they were placed in others, such as Avijit and Kochi, not only went on to continue their education, but did phenomenally, obtaining good grades and becoming prime examples. Now that's 2 out of 30 children. This is an issue that is spiritual, and it's locked in the hearts of men. And there is a rare person that can get out of the brothels. And most of them go into the same lifestyle that their parents have, even if they have the talent and gifting. Because there's bondage, there's slavery, there's spiritual issues operating there, and there's generational sin that's passed on from the very DNA of the child's bloodline, whoever their fathers may be. What can break the bondage? Who can set someone free from what you're born in, or your environment, and all these psychological questions, your training, your background? What is the answer? The word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord, Hosea 1:1-2, Hosea 2:1-13. Say to your brothers, Ami, and to your sister, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother, that's Gomer, Hosea's wife, The children are to plead with their mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother has played the harlot, she that conceived them has done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand, and I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, says the Lord. This is Amos 7. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. You say, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus says the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Now let's look at this spiritual issue. If you know the truth, that truth will make you free. And the only truth that we have is that Jesus the Messiah, came and shed his blood to take away our sins and to save us from our sins. He is the Son of God. He was holy and pure. He was the offering to take our place for sin and death. If you recognize the truth that you are a sinner, and that you need a Savior, this truth can make you free. And if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be free indeed. And being made free from sin, then you become servants of righteousness. And it was this Mary Magdalene that was with Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children, who were at the cross with Jesus, who were at the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting over at the sepulcher. She stayed once she found her Savior and Messiah, and she bound herself to the God of love that set her free and gave her the way of righteousness, because he is our righteousness, and showed her the way of eternal life. This is a spiritual issue, and out of it springs forth what happens in the natural. And they came, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They brought spices to anoint Jesus' body at the Holy Sepulchre on the third morning. And when he was risen the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. He appeared first to her, because when she wept at his feet in the midst of the house of the religious leaders, and washed Jesus' feet with her hair and anointed his head with oil. And the Pharisees were thinking in the heart of the religious leaders, oh, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered him and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, You have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. And your sins may also be forgiven if you come in faith to Jesus Christ.